Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio, Bénédicte Pro, covering for you the 70th Cannes Film Festival. As an unbridled crowd that you will hear during this interview is impatiently awaiting the appearance of Diane Kruger, we met with Ranga Nunyoni, born in Zambia, raised in Wales, to talk about her debut feature, I Am Not a Witch, selected at the Director's Fortnight. This film is an African tale on a tragic subject, the martyrdom of a little girl who's accused of being a witch and taken in a witch camp. It's based on an impeccable script. The visual poetics of this film is extraordinary, but the film's greatest achievement is to tell us about this tragic destiny with a certain humor in a colorful way and never trying to go for the easy tier. So how did you come up with the story? Because it's really quite incredible.
Yeah, it wasn't a light bulb moment. It was just, I was kind of trying to figure out what my themes were a lot. I write first and then kind of think afterwards. And I was trying to think about themes and I realized I was talking about something to do with freedom, the longing of freedom or the price of freedom. And then I'd separately been researching witch camps. I knew about them. I'd been fascinated about them. So I decided to kind of, I thought, oh, that's the best place to put my story. Let me put these women, these characters I've been writing in a witch camp and then see what happens. Yeah.
How much of it was fictionalized? I'm thinking of the ribbons, for example, they're attached to.
Yes, most of it is fictionalized. It's all based on an amalgamation of my research to do with witch accusations and witch camps. I was trying to set it in a fairy tale, a particular kind of fairy tale, like a Zambian fairy tale setting. So it feels very cold what I'm doing now. It feels like scientific, and then I did this, and then I did this. It wasn't scientific. It was, and then most of it, the ribbons were made up because I watched this. I was in Kiev randomly, and I watched this. But it's my first ever ballet, and probably last. And I was watching back because I can't afford it. But in Kiev, I could. So I watched the ballet, and then this guy was controlling these women dancers with a ribbon on a stick. I said, "Oh my god, that's so misogynistic, but it's cool. I'm going to use that." And then I used it, but I tied it to them to a truck instead on a spool so they can travel. Yeah. So that's fiction.
What's really quite striking here is that you managed to use, still remaining decent, of course, humor, even give us an absurd take on what is quite a serious subject.
Yes, no, firstly, the subject was absurd. I found it absurd when I was researching. I was like, there's no way I can make this into a serious drama because it's so sort of absurd. I can't put it, but I'm naturally, now, in this point in my life, I'm naturally go towards kind of absurd films in order to say, particularly this type of film set in Zambia. I always have a problem with like films set in Africa or with black characters. I didn't want them to become like this pity, this like objects of pity or people feel guilty or something. So I wanted people to just sort of like them as people, even though they're fictionalized, feel like they're part of it. And I think the best way for me to do that was through humor, to get people kind of engaged and not thinking the same old like, oh, poor Africa, poor Africans, poor Africans. And then you leave the cinema with just that. I wanted to get the humor, get people engaged that way. And then in the end, it comes to the same conclusion, some kind of tragedy, but through comedy. That it was really important for me to do that.
The silence of the little girl in the beginning gets her. It's what gets her into trouble. But throughout the movie, you stick to this plan of not giving us a backstory of how she got there exactly.
Very loudly. Was it the plan to
not justifying?
Yeah, I because a lot of when I was getting script consultants, everyone was like, "Well, she needs to say something." And I know film children say they're very, you know, they're very pushy. That something happens and they go, "I'm not doing this." So my film character would be like, "I'm not a witch," and then. But it didn't make sense to me. That's probably the most realistic bit I wanted to do. Village kids are quite passive, and passive characters are really difficult to write for. I get it. But I really wanted to make her very... Because she's also alone, so she doesn't have that sense of power. And then she finds it very quietly. She has a strong kind of inner strength. And I wanted to make her like that. I didn't want to make her fake, confident, and asking too many questions. I think in real life, they would just be mute, really.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. That's the most probably realistic bit about the film.
And it also
contributes to the fairy tale aspect, the fact that she's a lost child and like parentless.
Yes, I wanted to make her really, actually, I wanted to make her deliberately like an object, like a thing that you'd never quite know. Mm-hmm. I made her very stoic, and that's hard because it becomes very... To do that over 90 minutes is tricky.
Yeah.
So whether I achieved it, I did somewhat, but yes, yeah, it's tricky. Now I know why everyone was saying she has to talk. I was like, okay, I watched the films, yeah, maybe, but I still like her as she is.
Oh, yes, she's great.
She's like a... and she's mystery, and you don't know... I used to... originally, I wanted this idea of her playing this idea that she is a witch, she's the only witch. Mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, she's a witch, and I'm going to make that choice, but I think I forgot about that somewhere, halfway through the film. And yeah.
How much did the little girl understand about her character?
For me, I do... all the work is through casting, so if I get someone who's like a similar sensibility, then it's enough. That takes a lot of time. Once I get that, they pretty much do the rest of the work themselves, so I don't want them to think about it too much. I almost wanted to be herself. So actually, most of the reactions were her. I don't tell actors or cast what to do. I just get the right person who's got the right sort of personality. I said, what would you do if you were in this situation? And then she just... did it. So the pillow fight in the film, that's her, and she was like getting ready for a fight. I said, that girl is also called Shula, she has your pillow, what do you want to do? She said, I'm getting my pillow back. So she, it's her that just came up with everything. So she was, I said, even how she escapes, she leaves the camp, I would tell her, this is what's happened and what do you want to do? She goes, yeah, I'd want to leave. I said, okay, so how are you going to leave? And then she does everything herself. I just give them the empowerment, and then if there's something not quite right, not quite fitting with the character, then I kind of direct it or add lines or something.
I really love also the use you make of music. You cover quite a range of styles, but what I really like is that it never quite corresponds to what we see on screen, so it creates a disturbing, contrasty effect that has a striking emotional impact. I'm thinking especially of the scene where I won't reveal what happens there, but the one where you play American Boy, for instance.
American Boy, funny enough, was the only song I wrote in the script, the only one I knew, and I don't know why, but I knew what I was trying to achieve. I was trying to get this idea that you're lulled into a feeling of satisfaction that maybe the ending is going to be good, which I know no one ever feels that because they know something's bad to happen, but I was trying to make people think perhaps... and not just... I was trying to not be doom, 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 doom. I was trying to change the tone slightly. So American Boy was always there. But it's really... music is really important for me. And I'm never not fascist. I'm never particular about the music. It's just about how it makes me feel. So we try everything. We try all genres. It could be classic. It could be country music. It could be anything, as long as it makes me feel a certain way and it achieves it. That theme. So it was really tricky for everyone to find the right music. So Vivaldi came about also by accident. Firstly, we were listening to other... I knew I wanted something bombastic. I said, I wanted something bombastic and a little bit kitsch. So we found the kitschiest version of Vivaldi. So Vivaldi was a choice. He was perfect for me. And then other ones, it was just... picking and choosing according to the scene.
It also creates an interesting contrast between the archaic world of the context of the African context and us, I mean the more occidental western areas.
Yeah, it is like this. It's Zambia, or like other parts of Africa, although it's not based on Zambia, it's based on this sensibility, tend to have these contradictions. Like in Zambia, our contradiction is we're matriarchal. Like women have been in the police force long before I think they were in UK, and they've been part of the army. You find this very easy, but at the same time, you find all these really misogynistic and kind of very traditional ways of thinking. So it's such a funny... And then you have these old things that happened in Europe in the 15th century happening now, and then we have iPads. So it's just a mixture. But I think that was bound to happen because, I mean, these countries have only existed for 50, 60 years. So we're trying to catch up with everyone, as well as, you know, especially in the rural communities where they're pretty much... Still village, still people fetch water, no electricity. It's still like that in many parts of the country. And then other parts are very developed. So it's always going to be a mixture of... We're trying to find our way still of It's always going to be a funny contradiction. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the movie. It was a great experience.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.